Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 and 51, we read about something called a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Behold, I show you a mystery. What is this mystery? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It is the mystery of the rapture. And the rapture is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to catch away his bride. That is, to take all the saved people in the earth who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and take them to heaven with him. It's called a mystery because it was unknown to God's people until it was revealed to Paul by the Lord. Paul got numerous revelations from the Lord. He tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is one of those called a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I was 32 years old when I first started reading the Bible. I'm you know, really sorry that I waited that long to start, but I did start and started reading it, and started reading it often, every day as much as I could. Obviously, like you, we've all had days that we didn't read, but that's something that is a habit. And one of the first questions that I asked God when I started reading the Bible was this: how and when will I go to heaven? How and when will I go to heaven? You see, from the time that I had gotten saved, I was told that I would go to heaven when I died. While this was a great comfort to me, it left me kind of confused for this reason. I'd been to a lot of funerals in my life, and I had seen the corpses lying in the caskets. I had seen the remains interred in the earth. So I was thinking, if I'm going to heaven when I die, what goes? And what happens to this body? I really didn't know. I believed it by faith. I knew that it was so, but, you know, practically speaking, I couldn't explain it. And I really, really wanted to know, and I would pray every time that I'd read the Bible, God, please show me. So I began searching the Scriptures, and I came across some very interesting information. For one thing, I learned, and you may already know this, but maybe you don't. Maybe you're like I was then. I'd heard it, I believed it, but I really didn't know how to explain it. I learned that you and I are made up of three parts. We are tripart beings. You and I have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. Now, all three of these are mentioned together in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, you know, I had read through Genesis, but I didn't catch it. God said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's a tripart God. He's one God, but he's tripart God. And God the Father matches our soul, because nobody's ever seen him and nobody's ever seen our soul. Jesus Christ, of course, matches our body because he's God manifest in the flesh. And God the Holy Spirit matches our spirit because they are the same. In essence, they're both spirit. And so that, you know, that was interesting when I found that we are tripart being. So when a man dies, whether he's saved or lost, the Bible tells us his spirit goes to God. We see this in two places in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and look at verse 21. The Bible says, "Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth?" Well, that's a very interesting statement. Not to run a rabbit trail, but I would like to point this out. We cannot have evolved from animals, because the spirit of man goes upward when he dies, and the spirit of the beast goes downward to the earth when it dies. There is no way. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why I don't believe in evolution, the way that it's taught, that we came from animals. But, man, I'll tell you, that distinction right there, the spirit, there's no way. There's just no way. Ephesians chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 21, that's one. And then the other one is Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was." So that's often said at a funeral when a person dies. "And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So the Bible says that the spirit of a man goes upward when he dies. The spirit returns unto God who gave it, regardless of whether he's saved or lost. If he's lost, his soul goes immediately to hell. Look in Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, there is a rich man, and then there's a beggar named Lazarus. Not the Lazarus that was raised from the dead, not Mary and Martha's brother, but a beggar named Lazarus. In Luke chapter 19, verse 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." We'll comment on that in just a minute. "The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." There you go. Immediately when this lost rich man died, and his body was buried, the Bible says in verse 23, he was in hell. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. So, whether saved or lost, the spirit goes to God. If he's lost, his soul goes immediately to hell. If he's saved, or if you're saved, your soul, when you die, goes immediately to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather," here it is, "to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Several years ago, I had a fellow that we met. Actually, we were referred to them. He'd been in a terrible accident. I got to know him. I got to know his wife, ministered to him for a good bit of time as he was in and out of hospitals and in and out of care, and really, really got to enjoy them and love them. And one day we sat down and we were talking about these very matters that I'm talking with you about right now. And I am telling you, you have never seen so much comfort come over a couple as did that day when he realized this broken body that had survived the wreck was one day going, he was going to be free from it. His spirit and his soul were going to go and be with the Lord because he was saved now. And I'll tell you the rest that we told him as we go through this study about what was going to happen with his body. But it was a great comfort for him to know that the moment he passed, his soul was going to immediately be with the Lord in heaven. Tremendous. Now, listen. If a person was saved in the Old Testament, before, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then his soul went to Abraham's bosom, which is what we read in Luke chapter 16. Lazarus carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was a compartment in the heart of the earth. And on the whole compartment was in the heart of the earth was, I guess, what some people refer to as Sheol, you know, transliteration from Hebrew. But on one side was Abraham's bosom. On the other side was hell. And there was a gulf fixed between them that separated the two, and people in hell couldn't get to Abraham's bosom, and people in Abraham's bosom couldn't get to hell. They were separated. All the saved people were there in Abraham's bosom, waiting for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the lost people in hell. All right. Now, when a man dies, spirit goes to God. A lost man dies, he immediately goes to hell. Saved man dies, his soul goes immediately to heaven. Where does his body go? It's obvious. That's the part that had me, you know, thinking about this in the first place. His body is laid to rest in the grave, or his body is laid to rest in cremation, or his body is laid to rest when he's buried at sea, or in a, you know, in a soldier's grave, or whatever the case may be. You understand? Three different parts. Spirit to God, soul either to heaven or hell, depending on whether he's trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and body laid to rest in its final state, grave, cremation, sea, whatever. So I'd answered part of the question, at least from seeing these verses, and that was a great comfort to me. It really was. We're making some traction now, so at least I understood now why people said at funerals, he's in a better place now. Obviously, according to Scripture, and as you and I would conclude, his soul is better off in heaven than it is stuck in his body. I mean, Paul even says so in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 23, when he's talking with the Philippians, he says, Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, he says, I am in a strait betwixt two. So he's like, you know, I got two opportunities here, and I'm really in a strait. It's really a hard decision. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. There was the dilemma. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And it is far better. So we'd answered part of the question, but I was still left with the question of what happens to the body? I mean, okay, there it goes. It's in the grave and it turns to worm food, you know, quoting from Job. But does it just stay there in the dust? So I kept digging around in the Scriptures until I came across the passage of Scripture that I read to you when we started the broadcast, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Now we'll read a little bit more of it this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin reading with verse 50, and we'll read down to verse 55. The Bible says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now that's one passage that I came across. The other one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Here he's talking about dead people. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So when after reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the first time in my life, you know what I saw? I saw that the grave is not the end for the body of a saved man. And then when I told this couple who, you know, the fellow had had that terrible wreck, that his body was going to come up out of the grave one day and be changed, and he would be running around in a glorified body, I am telling you, it was a tremendous relief and joy to him. See, 1 Corinthians 15 shows us that because Christ bodily arose from the dead at his resurrection, that you and I are going to rise bodily one day as well. And as the body of Jesus Christ lives forever, right now it is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, but is alive forevermore, and as his body lives forever, so our bodies are going to live forever. And thank God, we're not going to be living in our bodies just the way they are now, thankfully, because they're going to change. God is going to change what the Bible calls our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto what the Bible calls his glorious body. Look in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and look at verse 21. Philippians 3:21. The Bible says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Well, what a tremendous thing. We're going to end up, I don't know if you realize this, you may already, and this just may be a real encouragement to you, or you may not know this yet, but we're going to end up looking like Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, look at verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That is, every person who receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior is a son of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. All right, continuing on with 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So knowing the rapture, knowing the mystery of the rapture, does something to you, because it's like, you know what? God is going to change this vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. What we need to do is start a process now of purifying ourselves so that we are ready for the arrival of the Lord when he comes. Tremendous. Now, you and I cannot go to heaven in the bodies that we have now, because 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So we have to be changed. And it's this change where lies the mystery of the rapture. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And here sleep refers to death. The change that you're going to undergo if you're saved, and the change that I'm going to undergo because I'm saved, is necessary to remove the corruption from those who have already died, and it is necessary to remove the mortality from those who are still alive when the Lord returns. You see, go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verses 53 and 54. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 53, the Bible says, this corruptible must put on incorruption. Well, the corruptible is what's already died, whether it's cremated or in the grave or in the sea or whatever. It has to put on incorruption. And this mortal, that's what's alive but hadn't died yet, must put on immortality. Why? So it doesn't die. Then, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So, after the change of our vile body like unto his glorious body, we're going to look like Jesus Christ, and as a result, we're never going to die, we'll never sorrow, we'll never cry, we're never hurt. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, Revelation 21, 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So, none of that. Furthermore, we're going to have bodies of flesh and bones, but no blood. See, that blood is something that came as a result of the curse. When they ate that fruit and death entered, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That blood evidently wasn't in there before. What you have, well, listen how the Bible puts it. It's easier than speculating. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. Listen, the Bible says when we get saved, we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, he refers us back here when he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's what he says in Ephesians 5, 31. Now look in Genesis 2, 23. When Adam sees Eve, he says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Today we say they are blood relatives, but here, flesh and bones. We are members of his flesh and of his bones. In Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, look at verse 39. Luke chapter 24, look at verse 39. Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples, said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, watch it, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So we're going to have a flesh and bone body just like the Lord. And also, we're going to be caught up off of the earth, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're just going to fly right up there. That's tremendous. So the rapture is the ultimate victory over death. It's the ultimate victory over the grave for all Christians. You and I have no reason to fear dying, no reason to fear the grave whatsoever. And the reason is, first of all, consciously, we go right from being here in the earth to right with being with the Lord in heaven. And we don't have to worry about the body or any of its things because the Lord's going to bring that body right up out of the grave, but this time in a glorified case. So, like Paul said, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, Christians who have died, people who are lying in the grave or out in the sea or in the urn, Christians who have died will hear the shout of the Lord with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. So three things. You're going to hear the shout of the Lord, and that shout is going to be with the voice of the archangel. They're also going to hear the trump of God. And when we hear that, you know what's going to happen? We are going to rise. We're going to rise. We're coming up. That is if you and I have already died. If we are alive, we're not going to die. We are going to be changed. You see, when Jesus Christ went to the tomb of Lazarus, now we're talking about the one that he raised from the dead, on his way over there, Martha meets him. And Jesus says to her in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus Christ says this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, that's his corruption, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, that's the mortal, and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? The reason he said that is, there are a people who are going to be alive at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they never will die. The body just changes. We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. You see, there's the mystery. And when we are changed, we are caught up together with them, that is, those who were dead, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So if you're alive, if you had a saved loved one who's already died, and you're alive when Jesus Christ comes back, they're going to rise and you're going to meet them in the air. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and then we're going to go meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that fabulous? So then following the rapture, our bodies will be joined with our spirits and our souls, and we will be reunited as one. It'll be just like it was when God created Adam. According to Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, Adam had a live body, a live spirit, and a live soul, and so will we. All three parts of our being will be alive and well with the Lord in eternity. Our whole spirit and soul and body will be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that fabulous? I thought you'd get a blessing out of that today. Hopefully you've learned something that will really encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.